Blog Talk Radio.
He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us all. And he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me.
Talking about the Holy Ghost. And remember, if you're listening for the first time, just press 1 to join in the conversation. And now, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Hello, everybody. Tonight I'm coming to you live from up here in Missouri, just a little piece above Arkansas. And I can tell you that as far as I can see is farmland, farmland, farmland. There's not much else. But it's not raining up here, which that's a pleasant thing. We've been driving a lot of storms and things. How are you doing tonight, Starling? How's the weather where you are?
Well, the weather is hot and muggy, and it's likely to stay that way all week. I'm pretty good. Really looking forward to the conversation tonight.
Yeah, the song, the reason I picked that is because, man, when you get to looking at what everything is about as far as your walk of faith or being a Christian, you just have to go back to remember just how much God loved us, his creation. And, you know, when you do that, there's one part of that song where it says, love's like a hurricane. And I thought, wow, yeah, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost, with that love like a hurricane. But if you would you read that scripture for me on what actually happened on the day of Pentecost?
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave utterance.
Thank you. You know, that mighty wind that blew in there, to me that is a hurricane of love that God sent to us. But, you know, I was, you know, thinking, you know, when we scheduled this program, and that's a dangerous thing, so I can tell you when I get to thinking. But the thing tonight was, you know, you get to looking at what is our relationship with God and what is his relationship with us. And you go back to the beginning in the garden, and God was able to fellowship with man. He was there with them in the cool of the evening, you know, there in the garden. And, you know, that was their fellowship. And then after sin came on the scene, all of a sudden they were separated from the garden. They were separated from the tree of life. So their body was, you know, starting to break down. There was a curse put upon the land, and the curse of sin was upon man at that time. And so that there was a separation between God and man that took place then. And then you look when Jesus came on the scene, and he was Emmanuel, God with us. And then you look where, you know, he talks about that, you know, I am with you. But the Holy Ghost is God inside of us that makes us a living, walking, talking temple of the Most High. And when you get to looking at that, you're like, wow, you know, that is just one of those things that just blows my mind to realize that that is what it is. It was God inside of us. And, you know, I don't understand, you know, the whole concept of where, you know, God came on the scene and he said, okay, this is what I'm going to do for mankind. This is my gift of you, for you, for what you did wrong. It's not that we were something special on our own. It's not that we are anything of value when you consider that we were made and made by God. I mean, I've never been into pottery and stuff. I remember my mother used to do that some and everything, and I really can't see someone making a creation. For one thing, we can't make a creation come to life, so that's really not a good, you know, example for us to look at. I think science claims that they can do something with life in test tubes now, but they have to use it from things that God's already made here on this world. But to think about that love, that he wants us to have that fellowship again, and so he paid a price for us. And then the other aspect of this is, what is the Holy Ghost inside of us? You know, a lot of denominations say that when you repent of your sins, it's a gift that's freely given, and you've got the Holy Ghost. And then there's other denominations that go out, and they're like, it is something you seek after, and it's not an automatic thing. And then also, it is a life-changing experience to where you actually have power that you didn't have before the Holy Ghost came in. And so there's a lot of a mixture back and forth on how the different denominations look at this. Some believe that it was for just that time where the apostles were, and that it, you know, is past. You know, and there's a lot of controversy over the Holy Ghost. And I was talking with Starla the other day, and she was talking about how, you know, there's no place in the Bible where it talks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that actual wording is not in there. But when you get to looking at where it talks about being born of the water and of the Spirit, where we're born of the water in baptism, and so when we're born of the Spirit, it is a baptism. You know, you have to kind of read between the lines and tie the whole thing together. But I don't want to sit here and just, you know, talk through the whole show tonight. I'm hoping that we got some callers that have different aspects that they want to bring to this, because it's not my show, it's your place. And so we want to take time to look at this. You know, we did the series on the Godhead with, you know, the God and then Jesus, and, you know, we didn't have a lot of people that actually called in, and so now we're at the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. And so do we have any callers, Starla, that would like to interject either some scripture or their thought either on the relationship of us with the deity part of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, or on what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost?
Well, nobody's got their hand up, but Blog Talk Mom is listening, and your mic is on.
Oh, how are you doing today?
We're doing great.
How are you doing?
Well, we had a tremendous storm here probably about an hour ago, and it's blown over now, but the lightning was beautiful to behold. Just that type of lightning, it just goes all over the sky. And like you were talking about the winds, we had some pretty strong winds, got a lot of stuff out of the way, and that's sort of what the Holy Ghost does. It moves some things out of the way. I wouldn't take anything for the teaching that Mom and Dad gave us. I tried to pass that on while Bill, and I feel like, you know, in the church that we went to for a long time, we saw some manifestations of the Spirit of God move. But my grandmother was my dad's mom was a very special lady. And she just walked very close to God and suffered tremendous hardships in her life. And the Spirit of God brought her through those things. And there was just a reverence or an honor given to that experience. At the time, growing up, I wasn't aware of Acts 2:38 or of the repenting and being baptized in Jesus' name and being filled with the Holy Ghost, like Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost. But I did know that there was something that you could receive of God that God really wanted to give you if you would surrender everything to Him. And my problem was I didn't want to surrender everything to God. And when I did get to that place, the most, I guess, unbelievable experience was I thought that at the point that I surrendered to God, that was the end of having fun and having anything. You know, I was just going to live this celibate, pristine, boring, just, you know, I don't know how to describe how in my brain. And I was in no way prepared for the infilling of the Spirit of God, what it was going to do. I remember one day that the Spirit of God had moved, and your dad and I had planned on separating, and for the umpteenth time, we had a little stormy relationship, and I was praying, the Spirit of God moved on my heart, and I was speaking in tongues and worshiping the Lord, and by no way was I perfect at that point. I mean, I don't mean to imply that, but the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and said, after this experience, after this prayer meeting, and said, when Jim calls, I want you to apologize to him. Well, I had earlier that day thought more about shooting him, maybe, or, you know, just certainly not apologize to him. And he came, the Lord was working everything out, and Jim came in, and I did from my heart. I apologized to him. And the sweet presence of God just began to move, and it was a process. You read in Romans, you know, it tells you if you walk after the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you don't, you know, if you don't walk after the Spirit of God, then you will continue to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But as you mature and grow in God, then you learn, you know, those things.
Yes. Looking at the parts of, you know, there's so many different, you just talk about the Holy Ghost, and it's such a large is probably not the right word, big subject to go into. But the part that really jumped out at me just before the show was the relationship part. You know, there's a lot of people that believe there's Trinity, there's three separate people, and somehow they all make up one God. Then there's some that believe it's three different titles of God. And it just, it really hit me today how there was that relationship with God with us in the beginning that was lost. And, you know, I just, something about that clicked. I've heard it all my life. And then it just, you know, the fact that Jesus was God with us and the Holy Ghost being God inside of us, that earnest of our inheritance, that power to be overcomers. And, you know, it wasn't, you know, one of those things it was meant to be where I give you a new car and you got no way to put gas in it and you got no way to drive it. You know, he gave us authority to use his name. We took on his name in water baptism, and then we take on him inside of us in baptism of his Spirit. And it just goes to show that, you know, if man was to figure out a plan on how to do this, we would have 10 steps for this and 5 steps for that, 7 steps for this. And I think sometimes that's what we try to analyze with God. You know, we got all these steps of what we have to do, and not realizing, like you just said, and you couldn't have said it any better, it's pretty much just giving up and saying yes. It's not a matter of, you know, I know in a lot of the churches, you know, you base your relationship with God on your performance. You know, what do? You know, and those type of things, and, you know, how spiritual are you and everything is based on, you know, what you do. And it's, I think sometimes we lose contact with the very basics of what it is. We take something simple and we make it really complicated. I know with myself, I was so locked into the tongues. And, you know, that's in the day of Pentecost was the outward sign of when the Holy Ghost fell on each person. And then, you know, when they left the upper room and went out, and then Peter was preaching, and then I'm awful with numbers, but there was, what, another 1,000 or 3,000 added to the church that day. And it happened to the people that were there. The reason they knew it happened to them because it was the outward sign of what was going on inside of those people. And so, do you have anything that you'd like to share or what you feel on that, Locked Up Mom?
Well, if I wish I was able to put into words how the Lord has shown me that from the beginning of time, if you go right into the first time that the tabernacle was built, and God designed right then to be with, to walk and to be present with his creation. And if you remember the manifestation of God when the children of Israel left Egypt, to the Egyptians it was darkness, but to the Israelites it was brightness and light. And God would manifest himself through the fire, through the cloud, through just his presence filling the temple. And so you can see, as you follow the scripture and follow the timeline of the Word of God, that God came into the temple that Solomon built. There was the times that he would come down, accept the offering according to how it was supposed to be presented to him. But none of those things that were offered were the real offering. They were all types and shadows of the Lamb of God that would be offered when Jesus was give when Jesus gave his life. So when Jesus died, and gave that perfect blood sacrifice, then God's plan to open the windows of heaven and to pour out his Spirit, not just on one or not just every year, but upon any and everyone that would believe in him and turn from their sin and open themselves up and surrender to him according to his word. And that now makes every child of God the temple. We're the temple of God. We're the presence of God in this dark world. God may manifest himself in you in one way and me in another, but it's the same Holy Ghost, because he said about when he was talking about the gifts, some have one gift, some have another. And like Brother Stone King said, if I have a wreck and I'm laying out there with both arms broken, I don't need tongues of interpretation. I need a miracle. You know, God knows how to use his Spirit in his church if we'll yield, and it is the most awesome thing. But you're right, it's not about tongues, and it's not about feeling, because you do speak in tongues, and my, the feeling is glorious. But those things vary. But the gifts and the presence of God, they never vary. It's for, you know, as being available to us to do the work of God. And I may have gone another direction with that, but then you were saying.
I like where you were going with that, because it is, sometimes we take so many things that are meant to be literal and we try to make those spiritual. And then there's other things that are meant to be spiritual and we try to make those literal. And I remember Brother Shield gave his example one time of this woman, her husband was sick, and the doctor said, now take this powder here and give him a dime's worth if he starts to have a seizure, and that'll bring him out of it. And so anyway, he starts having one of these fits, and she's digging around in her purse, and all she can find is a nickel. So she gives him two nickels worth, and she kills him. You know, we can take the thing, not just do we take things out of context sometimes, but we try to get so literal on things that our message is not what it was meant to be. And that's where we kind of started this whole thing with the show, is because the whole thing with the politics and religion, I understand that there's as many different opinions as there is noses on people's face, and there's going to be that until the end of time. But the concept of when you get the same things and you get caught up in just the, I don't know, there's a mob mentality that comes with things sometimes where people get just stirred up, and it's a mob thing. And these things get to pass along the Internet, and people of faith were passing these things on to me. And in less than 30 seconds, if they wanted to, they could have did a search and found that it wasn't true. And it takes away from your testimony, because if you're that wrong on that, and then you want to come to me a witness and tell me about what this God is that you got inside of you, that I need to have him inside of me, and I'm going to think, you're a whack job. You know, you're sitting here and you're trying to push one level of politics and you're spreading all these things. Like the other day, Joy was, man, she was fired up because all these people were passing around and things said that our president was dying. And, you know, it was just one of those email things that was going around, and she had a bunch of people send it to her. And the president's not dying. But when you get to spreading, you know, you just grab hold of things because you disagree. Your president didn't win, and this is now your president, whether you like it or not. He is the president of the United States of America. And so when you get to just spreading things like that around, whether you realize it or not, that's the people that the comedians are making all the fun of, everything on the radio and the talk shows and everything, talking about the evangelicals are going out there and doing this, that, and the other. And they're not looking behind everything. And that's the same thing when you get to looking at the Holy Ghost and that personal experience of God inside of you. You know, there's some pretty, you know, straight up things in there when you get to looking at God's Word. You read about the day of Pentecost and you say, okay, that is still happening today. It depends on who you talk to. Some churches, they say, no, that was for then. I've been in churches where that same thing is happening now. And it's happening in their services over and over and over again, to where I've seen people come in that were drug addicts and they've been through their 7-step programs and 12-step programs and it didn't take. And they go down to an altar and they got a broken heart because God has pulled them there, and they repent of their sin. And then they go and they want to be baptized in water, and they're baptized in water. and they come up and you're speaking in a language that they don't normally speak, and you see this glow on their face, and there again, there you still have to make that conscious decision to let go. Because I can tell you that even after going through that, if you don't follow after the leading of the spirit and you follow after the leading of flesh, it don't matter what happens when you came out of that water. It don't matter or however it was that the person received the Holy Spirit. If they don't keep a surrendered life living unto God, God's not going to dwell in a dirty temple. He's not going to dwell where sin is. And sin is disobedience of God. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's anything that God puts in your heart that's wrong for you and you pick it up, that's sin. And so it makes it very, very simple. You know, like you were talking about in the tabernacle, the veil was torn when Jesus died to make it clear God wants a relationship with us. And one scripture, and I love this, is where, you know, Jesus said that he's gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. The whole scope of the everything from the beginning was God wanted fellowship with man. And when we realize that, to realize there is no agenda here to hurt man, or like you say, put them under condemnation for things that they could just not have fun, to make it to where you're living a life to where it is dull, boring. It's and as a young person growing up, you know, in a church that taught on those things, I had some of those same images. The worst thing for me was I thought when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you were the car, and all of a sudden God would drive you and you wouldn't make mistakes anymore. Like, wow, I don't have any responsibility, so I don't have any accountability because God's going to drive me through life and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Well, about the first time I got to a curve in the road and I didn't grab the steering wheel, guess what happened? I went off the mountain. And it wasn't a pretty sight either. And so, you know, you have to take all of God's word. And then it's a process of learning, just like living life. It's all a process. And it's not one of those things that you have arrived. You can talk to Blog Talk Mom. She's been living this walk for how many years now, Blog Talk Mom?
Close to 40 years.
Do you think you've arrived?
No, I understand that it is a work of grace and that I've learned I don't know so much if I've learned it, but God in his mercy and his grace has helped me to see the things that I was sort of shooting myself in the foot with, you know, and just, of course, again, I'm not at the time of my life where I was raising a family or had other situations to deal with on a daily basis, but every day is a brand new day. There's a scripture here in when you were reading in Acts when when the Holy Ghost was poured out, and in Acts, I think it's the second chapter, and 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. You mentioned that a while ago. But the next verse says, and they continued, see, there was a continuing, that's what you're talking about, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And so, I mean, there is a continuing. I don't believe you can just stump your toe and the Holy Ghost leaves you, or you can have a bad day or go through a process and the Holy Ghost, I don't believe that. I believe it's very, very difficult to ever lose that infilling of the Spirit of God, because it's still working with you, that mercy and that grace every day, every time you surrender and go to him and repent, then it's there working, you know, through communion and foot washing, through going to church and worshiping. How many of us have found out that during the trial we can just get our face before God and start praising him and feel the shackles break off of us and deliverance come to us and a new, fresh look at what we're doing and what we're called to do. So it's a relationship, actually. It's the best word I think I can use. It is a relationship, just like you mentioned, with Almighty God and his creation.
Yeah, it's not a three-step program. And once you've done it, you've arrived. It is a continuing. I agree with you on that 100%. And to actually get out of step is a personal choice. You know, the Bible talks about there is no power that can remove us from God's hand, but he gave us free will to where ignorant man can be in God's hand and walk right out of it and face this world on his own and like, I got this, God, don't need you anymore. And it is so funny. I know in my life when I was younger, every time something bad happened to me, I always blamed God. I don't know why, but that was always the first thing. Like, well, if that's how it's going to be, I'm not going to live for God anymore. And you're like, okay, I'm drowning here, and I'm going to take my life preserver and throw it away. I mean, that's basically what you're doing. Things are going bad. I'm in an airplane that's crashing, and I'm throwing away my parachute. I mean, it's just, to me, looking back, it is so visible now, and it wasn't visible then. And I was so blessed to have been brought up where I had so much of God's word planted in my life at a very young age that sometimes we get into a habit of, you got these little automatic responses. You know, like, you know, people that curse, they stump their toe, they got that one curse word they always say. Well, I found that people do that spiritually too. Sometimes we put our spiritual man on autopilot and we just react like, you know, they sing a certain song, a certain beat, a certain thing, and all of a sudden, well, all of a sudden we can get our mind in tune with God. And I'm not saying that's something fake. I'm just saying that it stirs something in us where all of a sudden our focus is on what it needs to be on the whole time. But there's those other times where we sit there and the times we need to get that focus when things are going bad, when we're coming up on something new and different and we can see all the possibilities, how everything in the world could go wrong, that's when you need to put that power in gear. That's when you put the rubber to the road. Do you really believe what you say you believe? And, you know, I'm not trying to put anyone down. I know there's some people that they believe that it's a gift, that you don't have to have it for salvation. And you know, they have scriptures, you know, that they try to bring out to do that. And we are going to cover a show at some other time on the plan of salvation and let people talk about, you know, how they look at it and go through those scriptures. But when it comes to having power to be an overcomer, I cannot do it without the Holy Ghost in my life. I've tried. I've repented. I've cried. I've got on my knees and screamed, why, Lord? Why is this happen to me? Why have I done this? Why did I make this choice? Why? Wah! That's not what we sound like to God. Wah! But then there's times where I don't say why, and I'm learning now to just take it and lay it on the altar and say, Lord, I can't fix this. I don't know what to do with this. I'm giving it to you. And not one time has God ever said, well, I don't want that. You know, he's not that kind of God. His mercy endures forever. When we put our focus on him, and all of a sudden that spirit inside of us, we let it lead us. We let it guide us. I've never had a situation in my life to where I didn't somehow or another get like this little warning thing, like, oh, you really shouldn't do this. You know, better stay away from it. And then I have overpowered that, and then that's where the problems come in. To where if I'd have listened to those bells, and even though I didn't know which direction to go, and this is one of the things that I was never really got really in my heart until I got my pastor I have now, it doesn't hurt to stand still. Stop. Stand still. Seek God. Get an answer. You don't have to keep going 90 miles an hour all the time just bouncing off things. And I'm kind of rattling here. I think we have some more callers, don't we, Starla?
Yes, we do. Sister Kaiser, hello.
Well, hello there, Sister Starla. How are you tonight?
I'm great.
Well, I got on the earlier part of that, but I didn't get to hear all of it, so I don't know the full duration, but I know that Sister Robert said it's going to be on the Holy Ghost. Let me just share this. I heard a lady on the radio this morning, and she was telling that people that at Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2, that was not the real outpouring of the Holy Ghost. She said that happened. Everybody got baptized with the Spirit in Acts 8:12. So I began to wonder all day throughout this day, what do people think the Holy Ghost is? what is the Holy Ghost? You know? And so we need to have clarification to these people, these other people that don't understand it. They're flip-flopping from scripture to scripture and not even making any sense. But they need to know that the Spirit, the returned Spirit of Jesus Christ, is the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So here's where people get confused. She was trying to get that scripture on the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He said, I will send you another Comforter. And she was talking about like another Comforter means because Jesus is going away, but he's going to send you another Comforter. That's not what it meant at all. He says, I am going away, but I'm going to send you another Comforter. In other words, I have been your Comforter here in the flesh, but I'm going to send you another Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, my Spirit returned. And I'm thankful that God gives us clarification and God gives us understanding that we know in whom we have believed. And I'm thankful that for truth, that the Holy Ghost is a Comforter. The Holy Ghost is our keeper, our all the thing we need to go to heaven. The Holy Ghost will do it if we will work with God and let God work with us. And I'm thankful that we're not confused about what the Holy Ghost is.
You mean you don't think that's the third party in the Godhead up there? It's not a third person?
I don't believe that Jesus was Jehovah Jr. either. I know that Jesus is God in the flesh. I just read the scripture when Philip said, Lord, if you just show us the Father, it will suffice with us. And Jesus said, have I not been so long with you that you know who I am? If you have seen me, Philip, you have seen the Father. And so I'm not confused about the Godhead. I know there's one Lord, Ephesians 4 and 5, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I know there's one God and Father who is above you all and in you all and through you all, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And I know people get confused because the Bible sometimes says, Jesus says that my Father and I will come into him and we will make our abode with him. That's not talking about two entities or two powers. We're talking about God Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the visible image of God who is a spirit. And anyway, there's so much clarity and truth in the Word of God about the Holy Ghost and what it's for and who he is. There's just one Lord. There's just one. It's all about him.
Yeah, when we get to realizing that our job here on this earth is to be a witness, and if we don't have him inside of us to shine out, then what are we witnessing? You know, what are we sharing? If it's not there, if we're to be a vessel, you know, to be a conduit, so to speak, there's got to be something there to be a conduit of.
That's exactly right. You got to have connection on each end of the pipe or it won't work. But I'm thankful
like
because
Jehovah
God
Jr.
always sir?
I like you coming up with that Jehovah Jr. I've not heard that before.
Yeah. Well, I thank you, Jehovah Jr. But Jesus, here's what I said, well, there's three. I said, wait a minute. Jesus said in Ephesians, he said, I and my Father are one. That's Jesus. He said, I, Jesus, and my Father are one. Who is the Father? It's God. And so I said, well, the eternal sonship, the sonship ended at Calvary. He was just here for a time, you know, for salvation and for instruction and for teaching and for sending out disciples, etc. But there is no eternal. There's eternal God, eternal Father, not eternal sonship. And some folks don't really understand that, but that's the way it is. And there's just one, because God is a spirit. And they said, Stephen, as he was being martyred, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And I said, well, where was God? God was sitting on the throne. I said, really? My Bible tells me in John 1 and 1 that God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And spirits don't have, Jesus said, spirits don't have flesh and bone and blood as you see me have. We know the spirit can't put on a robe and the spirit can't sit on a throne. And they misunderstand about standing at the right hand of God, right hand, symbolism of power, the right hand of power. Everything is done by the right hand of fellowship, the right hand handshake. And God, spirit, wrapped himself in flesh, became Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for a time, for a season. Now he's all God because he said, I'm everything. Jesus said, I've done all of this by myself. I did all by myself in heaven and hell. So if God is on the throne and Jesus is in the earth, as they think, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That leaves God and Jehovah Jr. around if Jesus has it all. I love it. There's so many scriptures on truth and oneness of God. If people just look in the Word to pray for the knowledge to understand, have understanding. I think when people really get the genuine Holy Ghost, understanding does come, don't you?
Well, that's one of the things I was talking about, because I don't know if it's because I was very young or very stupid, maybe a mixture of the two, but I really did not comprehend. It's like I was sharing, I don't know if you heard that part, I thought that all of a sudden I was the car and God was going to drive me now, and all
yeah,
I had, I couldn't mess up anymore, and it didn't work that way. It just, there is that relationship. It's not just a magic formula. It's a relationship thing, and you got to maintain
it's
a relationship.
It's a baby thing, too. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
I talk to people that married couples, and they always having trouble, and I say, well, do y'all court on a daily basis? And they say, what do you mean? I say, well, whatever it takes to get them, it takes to keep them. I mean, it takes being sweet and kind, and he said, and if you kiss you, love you, love you, I love you. It takes all of that to get a partner or a mate or a companion, or, you know, husband or wife, as we're talking about. If it takes that, then it will take that to keep them. That's why I believe that. I believe it very strong. In fact, I preach about that, and I've taught Bible studies about it.
Yeah, and you know, it's like driving a car. You know, you got to every now and then you got to, you know, refill that gas tank. You can't just drive forever. You know, it's going to run out of fuel there, and it's not because the service station don't have any. It's because you don't stop and fill it up, and it works. You got to maintain that. That's one of the things. When Jesus was being tempted on the mount, you know, when he responded, he said, "And being full of the Holy Ghost," he responded. I think that was worded that way to give us a sign. You know, hey, pay attention here. You know, being full of the Holy Ghost, this is how you can respond in power, you know, with the Word. And I think it was Peter. You know, here he'd done denied Jesus three times. You know, he's scared for his life. And all of a sudden, he's been in front of some of the same people. And, you know, but it says, and being full of the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, he told them, you know, this same Jesus who you crucified, who rose again on the third day. You know, he made it real clear that the Messiah had already come. You know, that this was, the way has already been made for man to have his way of escape. Salvation had been paid for. And, you know, it doesn't just give us a boldness like that, but it gives us that direction, too. You know, sometimes there's, you know, I was talking about that with Brother McElwain, he said that sometimes it doesn't hurt to keep our mouth shut. Sometimes it don't hurt to be still. But there are those times to where we got to be willing to stand in the gap. For our brothers and sisters, or for, you know, and like I feel deep into my heart for my neighbors, for the people I don't even know. If this is a lost and dying world, and what they're supposed to see is what's going on inside of me, and I'm supposed to be a conduit for them to be able to hear more about what's going on with God in my life, then I got to be in that position to where those things are actually happening in my life. It ain't like you say, well, I read this book once on this here, and this is how it is. You can say, no, this is part of my life experience. This is what's going on in my life right now. Yeah, sometimes I fall, but guess what? I can get back up. You don't stay laying on the ground and moan and groan. And that was one of the things they taught in law enforcement this big time in defensive tactics. You get knocked down, you get up. If you got shot, you get up. They tried to hammer that into our brain to have that mindset. No matter what, you get up. And I think that's what Christians have to realize, too. You got this power inside. You get knocked down, you get back up. You grit your teeth, you find your focus on God, and you maintain your walk. You don't look to the left, you don't look to the right. And like I say, I don't know how many times that I've had things, and like Blog Talk Mom was talking about, there was times when I was running from God, and I remember one time specifically in Nashville, Tennessee, I had that race car, the big wide tires on the back. It was raining. I was going around that curve where 24 goes into 40 right there out of the loop outside of Nashville. And as I went around there, all of a sudden I felt the Holy Ghost in my car. And I'm like, wow, I had the radio cranked to whatever the rock station was playing at that time. And, I mean, it was booming. And I just felt a check to slow down. Just check to slow down. And I did, and I went around that curve, and I was hydroplaning a little bit, but I wasn't because I slowed down, but a truck had jackknifed across there, and a motorcycle had went up under it, and the guy was decapitated. And the way I usually drove, if I'd went down through the, there's no way I could have stopped. I'd have been up underneath that trailer. So I do understand what Blog Talk Mom was talking about there, where there is always that walk with God and His Spirit with us if we're sensitive to it. But I do also believe that we can walk away from it enough that we can grieve the Holy Spirit to where it's no, I mean, it's not with us in that same set that it was before. It's not like that where it's abiding in us. I think that we can mess up that. Do you not agree with that, Blog Talk Mom?
Well, there's definite scripture, you know, the five wise and the five foolish. The foolish had let their oil run out, which would definitely be a type of the Spirit of God within us. And the one scripture that always convicted me, seemed like they always preached it if I was one bit cold in the Lord, but in chapter 2 of Revelation, it said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and you've not fainted. And then he says, nevertheless, I have found somewhat against thee, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do your first works. That doesn't mean necessarily, you know, going to the altar and all of that, but that turning from sin and really being aware of your commitment and your consecration. I've made vows and consecrations to God, and it's very easy as the years go by to just maybe not take it quite as seriously, and that's dangerous. Very, very dangerous. I remember one time I said, Lord, if you'll give me the Holy Ghost, any time I've ever asked, if there's a because I'm scared to stand up. You wouldn't think I am, but in a testimony service, but I'll always praise you. Well, see, I haven't done that. You know, I've done it most of the time, but we need to be very careful when we commit something to God to fulfill those vows to Him. Because He hears that. Not that I bargained with Him. I don't think that had anything to do with it. But I did open my mouth. And like you said, sometimes it might be a whole lot better to keep our mouth shut. And it nothing wrong with that. But, yeah, I agree with you 100% that it's a continuum. It's a relationship. It's a walk with God. He definitely says there's only two ways, the straight, the narrow way. It leads to the Lord. The wide and broad way leads to destruction, and many go therein. So, I mean, we've got to take the scripture and not try to wrestle it to our own destruction, because that's just what we'll do if we don't live for God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And that's the words of Jesus Christ.
That's right. Carla, do you have a scripture, the scripture on the fruits of the Spirit?
No.
Which one?
Sorry.
I was going to get her to read the fruits of the Spirit.
Galatians 6.
The reason I wanted that scripture is because I was thinking about the when Jesus was walking with the disciples and he came up to the fig tree, and it was a season where it was supposed to have figs, and it didn't, and he cursed it. And, you know, we can sort of get on our high horse sometimes when we think that we have the plan of salvation all mapped out and everything. But I wanted to look at what the fruit is of the Spirit, because that's what, if God dwells in us, then we should have this fruit showing through our life. And if we don't, he's going to do us just like that fig tree. So
Bob Bill,
yes.
Are you going to read it, Starla?
If you have it, you can read it.
Well, I was just going to, before you read it, I'd love to hear your voice. And I just wanted to say that elder preachers would bring out to us that fruit doesn't grow on trees necessarily right away. You know, there's a lot of growing, there's a lot of pruning, cutting back, and sometimes it looks like you've just, you remember those pear trees at the farm? Like they were cut back to nothing, and before they produced fruit, and that encouraged me, because it seemed like it took me forever. You know, even the gifts of the Spirit worked in my life before the fruit of the Spirit was manifested. And so, Starla, that's in the fifth chapter of Galatians 22, verse 22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Yeah, that's a mouthful right there. You could just pretty much take each of those and break it down. And I do believe that we all have a season. You know, the Bible talks about seasons, not just with the fig tree example that was given there, but it lets us know that we'll go through seasons. You know, like you were talking about that you'd heard people preach before. But the whole concept is that we are striving to be closer to God because he's wanting to be closer to us. And in doing that, these are the fruits that we're going to bear. This is a thing that, you know, is, you know, we talk about speaking in tongues as being a sign of the Holy Ghost inside of us. Well, a lot of people are not going to come to your church to where you may be worshiping God and speaking in tongues, or they're not going to be in your prayer closet with you. When they get to looking and they're drawn to you, it's going to be because of that fruit that
yeah.
you have to bear. That's what's going to draw people. And even though there may be seasons and everything, you know, kind of like that walk out to the flesh, walk out to the spirit thing, and you get the example of pruning the trees, during the time it's not season, there needs to be some pruning going on. You know, we may not like it, but, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, we need to really take a strong look at, because the bottom line is not who is better than who and who is right on things of the Scripture. It's not being lost. It's not going to some place. And I had this dream of this one time, and I tell you, to think that there's going to be constant feeling of falling. Nothing to grab hold of, nothing there, and it's dark. It's so dark you have no concept. You feel motion, but you probably can't even tell if you're going up, down, sideways, backwards, or what. And if you've ever seen someone skydive when they're falling from a great height, it looks real pretty because they've learned how to put their arms out and everything, because they can look at the ground and they have a horizon to look at. But can you imagine in darkness? You're going to be tumbling. You're going to be all kinds of ways. And then to know that there's a fire that's burning you. And it ain't one of those things like, ooh, I feel something hot over and I can jerk back away from it, because it's all around you. It's an all-consuming fire, but you're not going to be consumed. And to have that for eternity. I know I have bumped my finger up against an iron when I was little, and it burnt. And even after you pulled it away, it burnt. Can you imagine over 100% of your body? You're not going to go into shock. Not going to be any relief in sight. It's going to be forever and ever and ever and ever. And that is the big picture of where not just do I not want to go, I pray every day that the Lord give me more love to realize that when I see other people around me, I don't want them to go either. I don't want it to be to where I judge my brothers and sisters in the church and like, well, I do a lot better than they do and everything. Like, here, you know, you try to justify yourself to people. And sometimes when you see them make a mistake and fall and you see things happen because they've been blessed before, and maybe you've never done this, and I hope not, but you're like, yeah, that's what they get, you know. That's, they shouldn't have done what they were doing. They were wrong. And what does that do? It makes me a judger of the word instead of a doer of the word, instead of being to pray for those people when I see them going in the wrong direction. It's real easy to talk about those people to your brothers and sisters. And, you know, like, you know, hey, you know, brother so-and-so did or sister so-and-so did. I want to get in that flow to where I'm more consistent. And I've had people say, Brother Bill, you're being really, really hard on yourself. And I'm telling you, I'm not being hard enough. because I know where I don't want to go. I know that I don't want to go to Satan's hell. I don't want to be there with any of those people. I don't care if you want to or if you're not going to take it serious. It is a very, very serious thing to me. And you talk about being tried. There's been times I was like, woohoo, I'm doing good. I passed this test. I'm floating along here doing 90 miles an hour on the interstate. There's not a cop in sight. I'm doing good. And something that I would never believe would be a temptation to me all of a sudden can come out of left field, and it's kind of like a policeman all of a sudden pulling you over, and you're like, wow, I'm not near where I thought I was. And God will try us. He will allow things to come into our life. It doesn't mean he's being mean to us. It doesn't mean he's punishing us. What it means is he don't want us to go to Satan's hell either. He's wanting us to realize, like you talked about, there's got to be some pruning going on there to make things right in your life. And I'm thankful that he loves me enough that he doesn't laugh at me when I fall. Or when I stray, I know that he'll leave the 99 if he has to. He'll come get me when I call. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of God that I serve. I'm sorry, do you have something, Sister Kaiser?
She isn't with us any longer.
Okay.
Well, I like what you just said. I love that, the Lord leaving the 99, coming after that lost sheep. That's one of the most beautiful illustrations that I can put in my mind. And I like what you said, too, about he doesn't laugh. He loves us enough to let us fall, and then he never laughs when we do fall. But he's a priest, a high priest that's moved with the very feeling of our infirmities. And that's really awesome.
Totally awesome. You know, we get to thinking we're out here all alone sometimes, and if we are, it's because we're not looking at the big picture, because he said he would never leave us and never forsake us. Never. And it's funny, we got this reunion thing coming up at BB from where I graduated from the Christian school, and it seems so strange to me. I look at those people and I'm like, man, all my friends of all age. And all of a sudden it sunk in on me like, man, you have too. Because you have this illusion of thinking of things. But everything changes. That's why they say you can't go back. Because if you leave someplace and you go back, your expectations were it's going to be like it was when you were there before. But it can't be, because everything keeps moving. You've changed. They've changed. Circumstances have changed. Buildings have changed. It's part of this life. It just is what it is. And it's unusual, you know, in talking to a lot of old friends that I went to Christian school with, and, you know, it just brings things to bear to let me see just how far God has brought me on so many different levels, but it also points out how much further I need to go. Do we have anybody else? Starla, I'm surprised we hadn't heard Rocky in there tonight.
Nope.
Did you have any other thoughts on this blog talk, Mom?
I just I really am enjoying the program. There's something so exciting about having God's Spirit dwelling inside of you that deals with you on such a personal basis. When you start to do something wrong, or you're going in a, you can feel Satan lying to you, then the Spirit of God illuminates, you know, quickens that. Don't go there. Don't do that. And, it's unbelievable to think that God would invest himself in us enough to walk with us on a daily basis to do that. And I found that if I will yield to that, there's another thing. It seems like we presume on that, or I do, and without the prayer, the personal prayer time, and the personal time in the Word of God, we don't go to that secret place of the Most High. I mean, we do feel His presence, and He's there, but it's not that same intimate experience that is available to us, that is necessary if we're going to really be evangelistic. I think we can, I've gone through experiences where I had a very negative feeling about something. And after going to prayer, every thought about it was totally transformed. I mean, just it's just amazing. And if I had not done that, if I had chosen to go on without that, then I would have been walking in that negative mindset. Doorbells and I have talked about that a lot. It's not just like power of positive thinking. That's excellent. But it's really allowing your mind be renewed and transformed by the presence and spirit of God.
Yeah. Well, we're at the end of our time here. I really appreciate everyone that joined us tonight, and I hope you heard something that you enjoyed and that maybe you can do some research on yourself, or maybe you agree with everything that we shared. And next week we're going into a topic that's talking about everything that's going on. Do you believe that we're living in the end time or the end of time to where, you know, God's going to come back for his church? You know, we've had the thing, and everybody heard in the news about all the frogs the other day that came out, just, you know, went through this whole town and covered everything from what I understand. And we see the strange things with our weather, the earthquakes. We're all aware of the wars that are going on, and the state of affairs with the countries around the world to where, you know, it was so mighty, and the mighty dollar seemed to be controlling everything to where everybody just seemed to be prospering. And all of a sudden you got, you know, countries going bankrupt, all these things going on. And, you know, you can look at Nebuchadnezzar's dream and, you know, everything as it went further down, the material that everything was made of was weaker and weaker as it went. So our topic next week is going to be, do you think we're living in the end of time? Or sometimes I wonder if God in his wisdom has it put it so that everyone in their life goes through a season where these things happen to shake us up. Like, hey, be aware. Because, like I said before, it doesn't matter if it's 200 years from now that God's going to come. I'm not going to live that long. So I need to treat every day as if it could be the last day on this world, because life is but a vapor. None of us are promised tomorrow. So when you get to looking at it that way, you know, maybe, you know, God said, okay, I might have to shake these people up every so often. Every generation is going to have a couple of times here where, you know, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking on this world going on. But personally, I think that I really have a hard time seeing how things can get much worse than what they are right now. And so with that said, that's going to be our topic next week. I really want to thank everyone that has been sending the emails, that listens to the show on the archives, and for those that called in, I'm going to remind everyone to continue to pray for Brother Bill, where he lost his wife. We want to keep them in prayer. And also, for those that wanted to contribute, we had the show in Haiti. It's an awful situation over there. If you want to contribute to help send Bibles over there, Starla, can you give everybody the address they can send that to?
Life Change Ministries, 1316 Huffines Ridge Drive, Huffines, Franklin, Tennessee, 37064.
Okay. And before we go off the air, does anyone else have anything else they'd like to add before we leave? Did you have anything, Starla?
No, I thought it was a wonderful show, and I'm really looking forward to next week.
All right. Well, God bless everyone, and we'll be back next Tuesday with Bell Zone. Y'all have a good night.